Well, hey, friends, and welcome to episode 26 of the Run From Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Krismer. We're so glad that you're joining us again today. And as always, if you've not yet listened to the message from Sunday, I encourage you, go ahead and pause this episode now. Go back and find that message, listen to it. It can be found anywhere that you're listening to this podcast or watching this video now. And do that before you continue on, as it's going to help this conversation make a whole lot more sense to you. See, in today's conversation, AJ, David, and I sit down and we discuss this brand new series that we just started, where we're taking some of these big words, these complex ideas in scripture, and we're trying to just make them simple, right? This bring clarity to some of these words and ideas that really do matter when it comes to living a life of faith. But maybe that's some study you've never done before. So again, just encourage you to stick with us throughout the course of this series, because just like on our episode today, we want to dig into not just an understanding of these words, but really an application of them to our lives. Right on today's episode, we talk about the series itself. We talk about, some things that didn't make the message, and we also dig deep into that same level of application. So we do hope that you enjoy. Well, hey guys, good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Got some good coffee. Ready to go.
Yeah.
New series. Yeah. Let's start there. Great job, AJ, kicking us off here this week.
Thank you.
As we jump into a series we're calling Clarity. Mm-hmm. Cool graphic too, by the way. Funny bit, and I also thought, great job. For those who don't know that you're a visually impaired person, that's like the perfect segue into. Yeah. Oh, here's, by the way, why I'm doing this. Yeah. It was actually masterful.
I'm not smelling my iPad. I'm actually reading.
It was really good. It loved that. So unintentional, I think, to have you start that series.
Yeah, but funny.
Yeah,
That the resident VIP is the one starting a series on clarity.
Yeah,
how funny is that?
Really good. So let's talk a little bit. Just, you did a good job explaining in short the point of the series, but I think when we talked about it, last year when we put this series kind of on the docket, so much of it was like, okay, how do we just try to make some concepts or words or ideas that could feel kind of daunting if you're not familiar with them, could feel maybe even academic if you're not familiar. How do we just make them a little more personal, try to simplify them in a way that helps people see the value and how obtainable some of these ideas are to begin with. So great job on that. Well, David, as you were kind of thinking about this series and threw it on the plan for this year, what else around it do you think we're going to experience throughout it that's going to be valuable for our people?
Yeah. Yep. I apologize to those who aren't sports enthusiasts, but let me begin with, let me tell you what was in my head. So I've had enough kids learn sports in our home, and I've learned there's tons of ways to learn. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of ways to teach with that means. And so I've watched my kids, I think of baseball in particular, to where a lot of times when you're going to teach someone to play baseball, what most people will start with is playing catch and hitting the ball, mm-hmm. right? However, when you think about what baseball is all about, it's about scoring more runs than the other team, right? Yep. For those who aren't competitive, like, no, it's about having fun. No, it's not. It's about winning. Okay. So you want to score more runs. So what I've often seen in T-ball, which is that usually that starter level, is a kid will hit the ball and then go to third base.
Now what?
Yep. or they'll catch the ball, or it'll roll to them and they'll put it in their glove. But then you see like the complete, like, whoa, what do I do with it now? And they'll throw it to their coach.
Yep.
You're like, no. Throw it to first base. Yeah. And I've seen it in basketball too. We teach them dribble a ball. Here's how you dribble the ball. But, and then you'll watch teams. I remember talking to Todd, who helps coach like middle school basketball. And a lot of times the teams don't know how to deviate from the play that they were playing.
Yeah.
And realize, wait a minute, now you're off script. Really? But the goal is to put the ball into the goal, through the little circle cylinder thing. That's really what you're trying to do. So here's what I have found, that when walking with God, we read the Bible and we're like, I'm a Christian now, or I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I go to church and I'm going to do this thing. And so we just start to say things and do things and not really know why we're doing them. And we don't know why we're saying them. And we don't know what's important and what's least important. What's more important? What should I be paying attention to?
Yeah.
So we felt like in a series to be faithful, like as our word of the year is faithful, yep. a lot of folks might be asking, like, what are some of the deeper things about being faithful that I need to know and understand?
Yeah.
And so that means that there's some complicated words, mm-hmm. Some what you might call Christianese or big words that you don't say, oh, those are hard to understand, so we don't talk about them here.
Yeah.
No. No, we got to explain them.
Yeah.
And so in this series, you're going to learn about words like abide. And I don't know that I use the word abide in my regular vernacular.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember using it this past month or so.
Yep.
Right.
And unrelated to the series.
Yeah.
However, that word, you need to know what that means.
Yep.
It is absolutely the like so crucial you understand what scripture teaches about abiding.
Yep.
So the whole idea of the series was let's not just teach people to dribble a ball or to hit a ball.
Yep.
It's let's talk about 30,000 foot view. Let's look down at the whole meaning of this thing.
Yeah.
A major themes that you need to have if you're going to be a faithful person in your walk with Jesus.
That's really good. I didn't realize that you had that kind of sports imagery in your mind when you started thinking about this series. But as you were talking, I was thinking about a sport that I picked up just a couple of years ago. I started golfing. I know you golf, David. AJ, I know you grew up golfing. Yeah. And I picked golf up because of a couple of reasons, good, you know, connection. I had a bunch of people in my life that golfed, but, also one of the things that was really engaging is I usually am able to pick up physical activities rather quickly. Like that's just part of who I am. I obsess over things pretty easily. It is a gift and a downfall of mine. So usually if there's something I don't know much about, like I'll be able to grasp onto it. And I'll put in a bunch of hours to get good at the thing rather like get to a baseline where I'm able to be competent. Yeah. That was not the case with golf.
No, man.
When I started golfing,
yeah.
I was very, very bad.
Yeah.
I know lots of people have this experience. I was trying way too hard. I was watching all the videos. And even after watching all the videos, it's like, I'm more confused than I was before. And then I found this one guy and I wish I knew his social media handle because I'd probably share it, but I don't know that everything that he says in his videos is always super appropriate. So maybe that's a good thing,
there you go.
But it's very, very simple. His videos are super simple. So he's the Scottish guy that's a speed golfer. I don't know if you guys have ever seen speed golf, hit the ball, just sprint down, just like try to get to the spot, get through the hole. Obviously there's some sort of scoring system around speed and score. Mm-hmm. So that's what he does. And he's really funny because he also does these like 10-20 second like feel versus real videos. That's the big thing in golf is like, okay, here's the feel that you're going for.
Yeah,
but it's not really gonna look like that. So like shallowing your club should feel like that elbow is just like locked in and the club's like parallel to the ground, right?
Right.
It's gonna feel that way, but it's never actually gonna look that way. So he does these feel versus real videos where so it just makes it really, really simple. He does a thing that most people do. So like he'll get the golf club and he'll show what it looks like to come over the top, right? Everyone who slices a golf ball comes over the top, comes across the face, crazy spin on the ball. It hooks all the way to the right, slices all the way to the right. So he'll show that. And while he's showing that, he's just screaming the word no. So he's showing the motion. He's like, no, no. So he keeps doing it. And then he changes it. He fixes the motion. He goes back, shallows the club, and then he starts screaming, yes, yeah. And that's the entire video. And he's got like hundreds of these videos. So when you said simplify and put it into this sports language, all I could think of is this Scottish guy screaming at me no or yes, because I'm not a very smart person, just generally speaking. But when someone just says, this is wrong and this is right, this is not the thing and this is the thing. Yeah, I've got that. That makes it a lot easier for me to understand the role that plays in the greater picture of my golf swing. So immediately made me think of that.
I think we all need something that we enjoy that we're not good at.
Yeah. 100%.
That forces us to like have grace with ourselves, but also like focus, learn from other people, be connected to people in that way. Like I remember for the longest time to keep with golf. My game was with my irons, I'd hit the ball thin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm getting more distance. This is great. This is awesome. But it wasn't until I found that I hit it on the sweet spot. I was like, oh, that feels like you're saying feel versus real. Yep. It felt different. It's like, oh, this is right. And having someone say, yeah, you're hitting everything thin.
Yeah.
I thought that's how I was supposed to do it. No. Like you're nearly topping the ball every time. Like you got to, you know, and that made a huge difference to have. I think that's even part of the, later on we'll talk about the part of this that needs to be collective or corporate. Like it's when you are not good at something, like we're all naturally not good at some things, having people that can speak into that is really important.
100%.
So with God, and you're like, all right, we got to, if you're listening to this podcast in theory, you're like, oh yeah, I want a relationship with God. Well, the danger in that you might borrow too much from what you've seen other people do, or maybe borrow from what you haven't seen, or you might borrow from what you just feel like you're in the mood for this or that. And so that's why I really get excited about a series like this that says, all right, let's go after what can appear complicated, what something that needs to be explained and like unpacked. Yeah. And so especially where we're starting with Abide, if you can get that, technically by getting this, you'll get the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they're also connected.
Yeah.
That was something I had a hard time with planning this one is I wanted to go down the holiness and sanctification route with this because abide and holiness and sanctification are so intimately connected and faithfulness too. And so they're also that I had to be careful to stay in my lane a little bit and be like, all right, I need to, my dad always said like, leave people wanting more. Like, so I needed to just kind of, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about this.
Yeah. And
I can briefly mention stuff, but like, but they're also connected in our word of the year being faithful. Like, one of the best definitions of abiding is just remaining faithful, like staying faithful, staying connected, you know?
Yeah, that's really good. Well, along those lines, then let's jump in. Cause you used that kind of primary John 15 text, that we've talked about in, at different levels a couple of times this year, because it is such a clear picture of, okay, what does it look like to be faithful, to live a faithful life, as a primary theme of our entire year. So you obviously spent a good amount of time getting us through that text, explaining, doing the word study, all that stuff. Though all of that time you spent there was probably stuff, you know, it was time that you couldn't spend elsewhere. Right. So tell us about anything that, you know, you may be prepped or thought about, but it's just like, hey, I can't go 55 minutes.
Exactly.
Right? So, what didn't make the sermon?
By the end, I landed on the big point, because there's a lot of examples that you can use to talk about abiding or remaining or staying connected. Jesus used the example of the vine dresser and the branches, and it's something they would have understood being an agricultural community. They would have known exactly what he was talking about. When you remove a branch from the vine, it dies. Like all of it's very, very, very clear, but there's a whole lot of other examples you could have gone. Like in prep work, I was even thinking about talking about like staying on the path or sticking to old roads, like well-worn paths, because the more people have gone down this, probably the better of a way it is to go. You know, you look at that with theology, and just because you have like this new novel idea does not mean it's a good idea. Yeah. Like sometimes the old boring ones are the better ones. And so there are a lot of these different things, but an area I wish I could have spent more time on is, what does it look like? Cause I land on, your heart being the sanctuary, your heart being the cathedral, that you cannot, like I said early on, like you cannot abide with someone that you don't see, you only see once a week.
Yeah.
That's not abiding. Like if I willfully only see my wife once a week, I'm a terrible husband and I don't really have a relationship with her. And so I landed on that. The cathedral of the heart being something that a place that you go every single day to abide with the Lord. And I would have loved to have spent more time trying to explain like what that heart looks like or what that even, and like actually a couple of the verses that came to mind was like Psalm 42, as a deer longs for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. Yeah. Learning from David that it's like so much of his writing in the book of Psalms is that I hunger and I thirst. I want you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, Psalm 84. My soul yearns and even faints for you. It's like those, I wanted to spend time there in those places where it's like, this is what it actually looks like. You know, when you find yourself not just doing it because you're setting a reminder in your phone to do it, which is really good. Like when you're setting reminders, but like where you wake up and you yearn to do these things, you want to do these things. And that kind of gets into like holiness a little bit too. I'm like, I have to be careful there a little bit. here in the Wesleyan Church, how we believe that there can be a gift of being completely supernaturally changed, to where your desire and your inclination is towards the Lord and towards righteousness. And so, yeah. But there was a lot of different things, a lot of different examples, a lot of different stuff I just had to cut out, because you're right. You can't sit up there and talk for 55 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's what this time is for, which is good. Gives us something to chat a little bit more about. Yeah, that's good. The reminders of, because I think probably at different seasons, we've all been convicted a bit by, do I have that desire? I love the Psalm 42 text, just that, like, does my soul pant for the Lord? Do I like have this depth of, man, all I want is this, like right now, like that's what I need to go run after. And I think we've probably all experienced seasons of that where it's like, oh man, I'm so glad that, I don't know, you know, if I'm being intentional or if it's just God moving in my life in a specific way, but we've also probably gone through drier seasons where it's like, oh yeah, I don't know if I could say that same thing because I've, overpacked my schedule and I'm just tapped out for energy and I'm not being as intentional as I should be with my faith. And I think that's one of the core, like, chief battles within living a faithful life to begin with is, have I given myself, have I built my life around, the space to be intentional, to desire God daily, to really run after him, and allow him to be the Lord of my life, to lead me in some of those ways. So that's a really good reminder.
It makes me think of, so we as a family, we're going to go on vacation, and part of the rhythm we have is, we go to the beach. I get sunburned. I mean, come on, I get sunburned. And so then we go to the movies, like, because we can't be in the sun for a little bit. And so anyways, all this to say, so we'll all go to a movie, and I got to say, I don't know if everyone does this, maybe they do, and this is just a part of culture, but when my family gets done with the movie, the first thing that we say to each other is, what'd you think of the movie? Mm-hmm. It's almost like post-movie evaluation mode.
Yeah.
What'd you think? What did you like it? Did you not like it? What did you like about it? What did you hate about it? All that kind of stuff. We get right into that. Well, the reason I say it made me think about, a lot of times when you're walking with God, you have these moments and you get right out of the moment. Let's say you go to church. Mm-hmm. You get done with church. You have this thought, how was it? Did I feel like what I felt like? Or you read your Bible and you're new to it, or you're not new to it and you read it. And the danger of approaching every time with God as though it's a moment to evaluate on how it went, sometimes leads us away from abiding. That's what has my mind on it, where abiding is this faithful decision, no matter if it's the most epic moment of your life, this supernatural curtain was opened and God said, look at this, I'm showing you this in your life. Or it's you prayed, you read, and none of it made sense, none of it seemed relevant. It seemed like you were talking to yourself, and now it's time to go to work. But abiding being, I'll take all of it.
Yeah.
And not spend my energy on constantly evaluating how it went. Because I think if you evaluate how God made you feel, or how that spiritual discipline made you feel, if you evaluate it every single time on that, you're going to stop abiding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're going to find yourself skipping, neglecting, finding another path that makes you feel something. And so that's what made me think about that danger of evaluating your emotions and how a moment that was designed to just be with God, mm-hmm. to just like to sit in the vine.
Yeah.
And say, God, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Do what you want. And then sometimes you walk away, and I was exhilarating. And sometimes you walk away, and you're like, I don't know what that was for.
Yeah, I think part of that is attention. Like, if we're giving too much attention to something that's not necessarily even focusing on him, just like reevaluating. Mm-hmm. We've talked about how important it is to just start our day and give him our attention. You know, what are you focusing at? What are you, you know, what is robbing your attention? I think is one of the points I end with. And I think about, have you guys ever seen Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been years.
I know, right? But Tevye, the main character, Red Tevye, how he would just like randomly talk to God. Huh. And he'd just walk around and be like, you know, would it be nice if maybe I had more money or whatever it was. And he'd have these conversations just as if God was just right there with him. And that's always been an example of me. It's like, why don't we just do that? And I think people do. I think, you know, and my grandma did that really well. But that's just an example of like, why don't you just turn your attention to him all day? It just, it doesn't have to be this formal, weird thing. You don't have to like go hide yourself in your prayer closet. If you have that, that's wonderful. But I think it's just about attention. Like, give him your attention. Like, another verse I didn't add in is James 4, where it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it's not like, hey, go find your quiet space and then talk to God. It's like, just draw near to him. Just give him your attention, you know?
That it's funny too, because that text in James, I always think about like, oh yeah, I guess if you were to just read that at a glance, you might interpret it as, well, I've got to do this so that God would be with me. But in reality, it's no, this is just the nature of, like, I'm a broken record around just being intentional with your life.
Yeah.
Just, like, not just letting it slip by and not even thinking or slowing down and just like letting it live for you almost. But like actually orchestrating your life in a way where, I do just look, yeah, be intentional, draw near real quick. And like the byproduct is, well, God is already there. Mm-hmm. So that means inevitably he's going to be there with you. So that, yeah, that's a really good, really good reminder. Love that. I loved the wordplay with abide and abode, just talking a little more about the place of like a humble abode and like all of that. What else, maybe did you not get to dig super deep into there from a practical standpoint where like, how can we, keep that as a constant reminder for us?
I think part of it is, and I touched on it very briefly, but about how like building a home is not passive. Mm-hmm. It's active. Like you don't just get to kind of see things appear. You have to actually work at it and do things. And literally building a home, like if you're actually constructing a house, like is something that you have to be incredibly intentional. You have to prepare for, you have to work hard at. And then again, that went into sanctification a little bit, but it was like this, if your heart is a home for the Lord, like you have to be intentional. It requires work, and it requires work both from you and from him. And that's part of what I didn't mention too much. I didn't lean in too much into, especially with the image of cathedrals. Like these cathedrals took generations to build, many of them, mm-hmm. like, and hard work and a lot of sacrifice. And we can forget that our relationship with the Lord takes work. And it's intentional, it's purposeful, it's sacrificial. Like there are things that go into making your heart a home, not just the one time, yeah, come live in me. It's like, no, every day you're working at this thing. Same with like, having a family, you know, like actually keeping a home, is, it requires work and intentionality and it requires attention.
Yeah. You know? That's really good. Really good. Well, then let's, start to shift into just like real practical application mm-hmm. within this word abide and this concept that we're talking about here. So like, I loved the, right, don't just build the cathedral, be that, mm-hmm. like be, that is like the central understanding of abide. Like we obviously, we have been gifted, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, but we have been gifted the Spirit, same Spirit, by the way, that, God, right, before, you know, the moment where he shares the Great Commission with those who are listening, his disciples and apostles, he goes, hey, I've got to go right before the ascension. I've got to go because another one who's greater than me will come. Mm-hmm. So that another one that's greater than me will come. And what he's referring to is this moment on the day of Pentecost in Acts mm-hmm. that we see where the early believers, the first church, was filled with the Spirit, and it was a place where like the Spirit dwelled in them. So then if we were just to try to get super practical, like the whole point of this podcast is to try to figure out, okay, how then do we do that best? What sort of thoughts or areas of our lives would you help try to point people to in the midst of that?
Well, I think before I just kind of give the 3 points I kind of ended with or something, or a few things I mentioned, that's the ultimate pursuit of a pastor and a worship pastor with everyone that steps through the church, right? It's reminding them like, hey, God doesn't just live in this room.
Yeah, right.
Like when we meet together and we worship, this is beautiful and wonderful, but you can have this every single day in your home also. And so that's the application piece is like, hey guys, there's nothing like, okay, this room is sacred. Yes, because it's set apart for what we do here. So yeah, it absolutely is, but it's not more sacred than your heart. Yeah. Like, that's the part that like, I feel like especially as a worship pastor, I just want people to get where it's like, hey, you know, you come here and we have lights and we have haze and we have electric guitars and drums and whatever else. And that's cool. And that's great. And what we do is awesome.
Yeah.
But like when you worship the Lord in any small way at your house, oh my gosh, it's better. Mm-hmm. And just that's what you should be pursuing all the time. And so, that aside, it comes back to like, you know, the Holy Trinity of sermon responses. It's like, what should you do? You should pray, you should read scripture, and you should have your own personal time of worship, right? Yeah. It's like, it really is just that what you do or what you're forced to do when you come to church, make a habit in your daily life.
Yeah.
You know, spend time in the Word of God, know Him, because when you know Him, you become His disciple, you're obedient to Him, you obey His commands, and you're transformed by the supernatural power of the Word of God because yeah. it's truly living and active. It changes your life. And so read the scripture, know the scripture. Pray, talk to God. If you don't feel creative, then I don't know, read scripted prayers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really great books that are compiled of just great prayers.
Yeah.
Read those aloud and then start writing your own. Use your phone to your advantage. Leave yourself reminders mm-hmm. every day. And like I said at the end, like, if there are apps that you need to delete that rob your attention or whatever, delete them, you know, make space, make room for Him. If there are apps on your phone that compromise your temple, delete them.
Yeah.
You know, truly make space for Him and just be intentional. You know, I think one of the things that we say in regards to giving is true with just living also. It's that, you schedule what's important for you.
Yeah.
So schedule Him,
yeah.
you know?
I once did a deep dive because I didn't grow up. I grew up in Kansas and Indiana. So I didn't grow up around like, what's the vine? What's the official vine grape? Word, I can't remember. There's an official like word that describes the growing of grapes.
Huh. Like vintnery or something?
I forget. Anyways. So I studied the whole thing, like the process. And one of the important things to know that they would have all known, like it would have, like you, the kids would have known this, is that you have to train a grapevine how to grow. Like mm-hmm. where to grow. You have to direct it.
Oh, sure.
Grapevine. Like when you think of, oh, if I'm going to go get grapes, they're just some seeds were planted and they're all over the ground and we just go pick them. That's no grapevines are there's a whole structure that they're mm-hmm. attached to. And it's the type of soil affects the taste. The climate affects the taste. Yeah. The watering schedule affects the taste. All that kind of stuff. So there's a good lesson it's somewhat not subtle to the original listener, but subtle to us mm-hmm. when we read about that. Oh, we're talking about abiding and vines. Neat, right?
Yeah.
It's deeper than just like neat. So there's two main things when you think about vines and growing grapes, and if you're gonna ever run a vineyard, is the nourishment. So if abide is going to become less of a complicated conversation for you, it's super important to have in your life, paying attention to the nourishment and it not being solely a church service.
Yeah.
Which is the cliche, right?
Yeah.
Nourishment. But then also, and you notice over and over, he talks about pruning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And we're like, isn't that neat? Of course. We're so glad that he does that to that vine. But when it comes very personal to us, actually inviting pruning into our lives becomes a major asset to being able to abide well.
Yeah.
Because most of us, if we're not going to abide well, it's because something needs to be pruned off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not always a bunch more nourishment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but it was fascinating to learn about how delicate the whole grapevine system is. How it's not just about planting and watering. Yeah. There's this long-term, tons of attention on with regularity. Mm-hmm. And what's kind of cool about it is one vineyard doesn't taste the same mm-hmm. as the one mile down the road.
Yeah,
which is helpful because sometimes it's not even on the same watering schedule. A lot of times we compare ourselves as Christians, like, well, wow, man, AJ reads his Bible at this time and does it this way. And so I got to do that.
Right.
And sometimes that's a good, like maybe initial beginning, but understanding that your level of nourishment, which how often you need to read the Bible,
yeah.
What pattern you need to read the Bible could actually vary and change throughout your lifetime.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Right.
Yeah. Certainly has yep. in mind. Yeah.
So yep. super, I think that's super true. Important when you're looking at just a bit, the big view of a vine, we're looking at vines. as a, what's that mean? It means that you're delicate and you need trained and you need nourished and you need trimmed. And this is the rest of your life approach, which by default then requires you to abide.
Right.
Or you're done. Yeah. You dry off.
Yep.
That's really good. Viticulture. Is that?
Viticulture. That's it. That's it. Sorry. Yeah. I was like, there's a word.
You could thank Claude, our most recent sponsor, for that. Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? So one of the things along those lines, in fact, when I was, I used this text a couple of months ago when I was teaching through like the idea of faith being like a pursuit of constant obedience, not just like a one-time decision. I think there's can often be in some churches, maybe a misunderstanding of faith as like a one-time, really important decision that you make, right, and then we're good. And right, now we get to listen to the music and enjoy the fellowship. But really we're done on the obedience side. Well, I was kind of trying to dispel some of that and have a better, more biblical outlook on obedience. I use this John 15 text almost for some of that reason, David. There, what I think is so easy to miss, especially if you're maybe like me and you've read this text a million times, and it can almost immediately come off as like this kind of warning. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, remain in me and I will in you. Or if you do not remain right on the vine, then you'll get cut off. Like there's some like pretty, again, if you just look at it, like outward looking in, read through it really quickly. And if you're wired like me, you can definitely get this like, oh geez, that's a warning. I should be afraid, sure, to not remain. And I think that's like a very fine surface level understanding, maybe once or twice. But the thing I was trying to drive home when I was looking at this text a couple of months ago was the activity on behalf of the Father, right? It was this point of like, you know, my Father is the gardener, which again, from a viticulture perspective is like really hard work. In fact, like there's a reason that some wine is very expensive. It's because it takes a lot of energy, so much attention to detail, tons of people working these vineyards. And like, it takes a really long time to dial it into a point to where, and also it takes some like nature, like some help from nature, takes the right amount of rain, the right amount of water, good soil, like all of these things. But it was a great reminder for me of how active and engaged God is in this process of abide. Like it's a promise that he offers us. It is not, right, if you remain in me, maybe he'll consider remaining in you. That is not, if you abide, maybe he'll consider the same thing. It is like an if then, like if you abide in me and he in you, he will bear fruit. Like that is the outcome from this text, which is just such a beautiful reminder of what we don't always see or maybe notice, which is God is constantly working. He's constantly pruning. He's constantly helping grow and bear fruit. He's watering the seed like over and over again. So this text, especially over these last few months, and you did a great job teaching through it again. It's just that reminder of me like, yes, this is some of my work. Some of my work is to remain, to abide, to be a part, an active, an engaged participant. But I can't lose sight that God is also working all the time. Like even when I don't see it or don't want to see it, he's just constantly on the move in my life.
Yeah. I was just looking up some of my research. So on vines and stuff, and just in case folks don't know, I didn't know a lot of this growing up at least. So when you hear this terminology vine, your mind, I don't know where you guys' minds went, but your mind can treat the vine as though the vine is the vine, the branch, and the grapes. But it's not. The vine is the vine. The branches are the branches, and the grapes are the grapes, right? Yeah. And that's important. That's a detail that is crucial, mm-hmm, because the whole thing is really about the vine. Mm-hmm. So you can trim a branch and the vine still thrives. Yeah. You can pick the grapes and the vine still thrives. Yeah. So if the branches aren't thriving and the grapes aren't thriving, your problem is there's a breakdown in the nourishment transferring from the vine to the branches. Mm-hmm. So the lesson in the abiding part is if you right now have this relationship with God that seems to be stagnant, stale, brittle, weak, all that kind of stuff, it's not because of your circumstances.
Yeah.
So in fact, when you study this, a person doing viticulture, they love storms because during a storm, something happens in the vine that's significant. Mm. Like the vine starts sending nourishment to the branches mm-hmm. when it knows a storm is going on. Yeah. The wind, the stuff, it actually begins to activate. So, yeah. So the vine, it literally, it's as though God knows what he was doing when he was creating this. But during a storm, the vine will strengthen its branches. It will send nutrients to the grapes. And if you're a vine dresser, you're like, sweet, storm. Because all it's doing is it like fusing like this amazing act of got to grow and got to use this moment. But you and I, wait, storms. We blame the storm. Storm's not the problem.
Yeah.
It's your connection to the vine. It's always, are you allowing nutrients to flow from the vine into your life? Which means like, how well are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because that is the free will part of this, where mm-hmm. I can keep my Bible closed. I can listen to whatever I want to listen to.
Yeah.
I can pay attention to whatever I do frequently or infrequently. But it just was significant. And then if you just want to really nerd out on wine, then eventually it's put into barrels, right? Mm-hmm. And what do? The barrels just sit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Time does its thing.
Mm-hmm. For years. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of like, if fruit is what God is doing in your life and bearing fruit, so there's this usability that's profound and significant and glorifies him, some of that waiting time is a part of the whole process that you don't necessarily have to lament or at least hate, maybe hate's a better word, like despise. It can become something that's significant. So God is not far from you. The problem is, have you cut off or in this situation of dwelling on abide, like how have you cut off nourishment from that vine? Because my mind typically, when I say vine, I accidentally all the time just put it all into one piece.
Yeah, it's just all one.
Vine, branches, grapes, cool. Yeah. We're talking about vine. Right. Like, no, they're separate. That's why it's important to know that they're all different subjects.
Yeah. It's also interesting that like some of the best grape harvests that turn into wine, some of the most flavorful grapes that they use for wine come out of seasons that are relatively dry. And so they're having to fight for the nutrients.
Mm.
And so it makes to where, because if it's too wet, the grapes can get too big and it kind of dilutes the flavor and stuff, but it makes it more concentrated. So it ends up being like, hey, if you buy a Napa Valley Cabernet from 2018, it's like the best wine ever. You know, it's like because something about the conditions of that year made it to where the fruit that was produced was better than other years. And so it all affects everything. It's really incredible.
That is really cool.
Message there too, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder if we know any viticulturists.
Vintnerists, but yeah, viticulture.
Yeah, it's like a horticulture, right? It's like a branch of horticulture. So,
I know if you do it, like if you go to Greece and do like some of the biblical tours, Paul and all that. Yeah, I do know that it's such an integral part to what they do. They'll take you to vineyards and you learn a lot.
That's really cool. Yeah, wow. Very cool, man. That, yeah, really, really good reminder. I think, yeah, just trying to drive home that application to you of, okay, is there anything in the way? Like what is distracting you from your expression of like abiding, being intentional? And I think we all have that stuff. We all go through seasons where we've got things that are just distracting us and being able to acknowledge it. And And the question is, are we going to obey? Are we going to actually like put to death the thing that is getting in the way of us just like longing after that time with God?
That's the faithful part, right?
Yep.
Like the vine's the one actually doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
The vine is the delivery. Like, so a lot of times, I don't know, as a Christian, you're like, I've got to, and you feel like you got to squeeze everything to be the Christian that you should. Like he said he's the vine, like let him do the work. Mm-hmm. I think the difficulty is letting him do the work.
Yeah.
I've seen it in parenting, or actually majority of my relationships where you learn like, wait a minute, it's not about like grabbing and squeezing and controlling and trying to like invent something. It's what have I let get in the way?
Yeah.
Or how have I somehow like squeezed that off to where like nothing can pass through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, great, great application for the day. All right, well, what else do you guys have from this past week? Anything else to dig into?
No, we just now all need to go visit a vineyard.
Must. Yeah. That's part of the job, maybe. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Love it. It is. Yeah. Such a historic, I mean, yeah, just generations of the agricultural piece of winemaking too, that we see in scripture and then all throughout those regions, that it's really fascinating. I know practically nothing about any of it.
Yeah.
So
I think one thing that just popped into my head when David was talking was, whenever you remain or abide, you stay connected to the vine, like you make room for him, you, schedule or whatever, remove distractions or whatever. Anytime you remain in the vine, you just become a better person overall. And that trickles down into all your other relationships. So like for me, if I'm making sure I'm connected to the vine, I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better husband. You know, there's things that, and not even just the natural sanctification aspect, but also just the discipline of removing things that will distract me. If I remove those distractions, makes it easier to remove those distractions in my daily life with my family.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but. No, that's really good. Really good reminder.
Yeah. One crucial thing that could get misunderstood, I guess. So I just want to make sure. This is not a conversation about emphasizing your responsibilities. It's, are you emphasizing that there's a relationship there?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and I think if you acknowledge it, that's part of the abiding is like, yeah. This is not a religion. This is not a responsibility task list that I'm checking off. And because then it becomes where I think we're striving at a different level that we shouldn't. This is a relationship, mm-hmm. which every relationship requires some communication, mm-hmm. listening, mm-hmm. Some time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not a perfect amount of time, by the way. It's not like how much, David, is it 10 minutes? I don't, right, it's not right. 10 minutes.
No. Yeah. It's not like that.
It's not 3 hours. My best friend or one of my best friends, I see him maybe every 2 or 3 years. It's not a perfect mathematical equation. No. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
Which requires some level of intentionality. Like you talked about, Brendan, some level of like, all right, what am I doing to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the passage talks about a lot of different things and a lot of the emphasis being fruit, but really the responsibility of the branch is to remain.
Yep.
That's why I don't need, frankly, guys, like I don't need to go to church and leave church and be like, how was it? No, I was there.
Yeah.
And if, whether I preach, someone else preach, whether it's a song or this or that, my goal is I just want to meet with you. So God, you're the vine, so meet with me however you want to. Mm-hmm. And if I feel the feels, great. If not, I'm going to be back.
Yep.
And time with, like, you know, different ones of us, we're in groups together and we hang out and we process life together and family stuff. Just kind of like that joy of just being.
Yeah.
And saying, God's good. He'll let me know what I'm supposed to know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just got to be open to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah. That's really good. Appreciate it. Yeah. See you again next week. Man, what a good conversation that was about what it looks like practically to abide in the Lord. I just love, I learned a ton about viticulture. In fact, I learned that it was called viticulture, this process of growing these grape vines. And I hope that you had a thing or two that you could learn from this episode as well. I encourage you, I know it's summer, it's a crazy season. You may be traveling or doing, all sorts of things with your family, but I encourage you to stick with us through this series. I think we're going to learn a ton together as we wrap it up over the next few weeks. And even if you're out of town, maybe you're on a family vacation, you can always find the messages and this podcast digitally through whatever podcast or YouTube app you may use. You can watch it on YouTube, listen to it anywhere you find podcasts. We hope that you enjoy and we'll see you again next week. All right. Thanks, Stuart.